with my Bible,
I can defeat the devil
every single day.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is
the Word of God.
And God's Word
is the revelation
of His will
for my life.
Whatever it says I am,
that's what I am.
Whatever it says I can do,
I can do it.
Whatever it says I have,
I claim it
in Jesus' name.
Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we had to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Now, Lord, help us to be doers of your word in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. John 3:16-17 is a verse that is so memorized by both saved and sinner alike. Praise God.
Amen.
Yet, I don't think the majority of people truly understand it. I think a lot of people know that verse. They can quote it, just like you just quoted it a moment ago, but they don't fully understand it. Think about it. Why do people who believe John 3:16-17 says that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him, why do they continue to live in condemnation? Why do they continue to believe in a God who seems to be angry, upset, and bent on their destruction? Praise God.
Amen.
That's not the God I serve. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The God I serve is not one who's trying to condemn me and destroy me. The God I serve is the one who's trying to save me. Praise God.
Amen.
And I want you to think really hard about John 3:16. It says that God so loved the world.
Wow.
It didn't say Jesus so loved the world. Now, Jesus does so love the world. Praise God.
Amen.
But it says that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son.
Yes.
A lot of people think there's two different people in the Godhead. That there's Jesus, who's nice and sweet and kind. And then they think of the Father as some angry person who's upset and just really wanting to just do us in. And they think that Jesus came down here to say, oh no, Father, please, don't destroy them. You know, a lot of the Jesus movies, they always have an actor that plays with a British accent. So, so I'm trying to imitate the British accent of these actors. But, oh no, Father, please don't destroy them. I shall die for them. And they think the Father is such a person who has so much bloodlust that he just got to kill somebody for your sins. So he says, all right, since you decide you're going to do it, I'm going to kill you instead. That's how a lot of people think of the Father. No, the Father so loved you. Praise God.
Amen.
That's the Christmas message. The Christmas message is not just about Jesus. Oh, it's the focus should be on Jesus. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
The focus should be on the second member of the triune Godhead. But you need to also remember that the Father so loved you that he sent Jesus. This was a joint effort, praise God,
Amen.
Between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit, see, he don't get enough credit, I'm telling you. He has to put up with you every single day.
Yes, yes.
The Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Jesus said, I don't leave you as orphans. I'm going to send somebody that's just like myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sent the Holy Spirit, and you sitting around cursing, and the Holy Spirit got to hear that.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
You complaining, and the Holy Spirit got to hear that.
Amen.
You smoking your cigarette, and the Holy Spirit got to smell that.
Yeah.
Yes.
You
yes.
drinking your alcohol, and the Holy Spirit got to sit there and say, oh, God. I got to convict them again.
Yes.
And try to bring them back to me.
Mm-hmm.
See, you know, thank God for the Holy Spirit, I'm
Amen.
Telling you.
Amen.
Thank God for Jesus. But that's the Christmas message I want to talk to you about today in a short time. I'm going to try to keep it short. It's hard. You know, y'all know it's hard for me to keep things short. Because there's so much. Hey, thank you, Mother. I love Mother's honesty.
Amen.
But I know y'all want to eat. We're gonna have us a good time at my house. Tacoed and cooked. She done cleaned. And I sat and washed her. She did a fantastic job. Pastor Mary called me up last night and chastised me for working her mother so hard. But the thing is that we want to have a good time today. We are just so joyous to be able to have y'all over at the house.
Amen.
Glory to God. And I think we're going to enjoy ourselves. And we're just going to fellowship, have fun, all in center around clean, loving fun in Jesus. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. But let's look at Luke chapter 2, where the majority of the Christmas story often comes from. Luke chapter 2, we're going to focus on verses 10 through 14. Earlier today, as we were getting into our time of prayer, we looked at Luke chapter 1, and we saw how the angel Gabriel came to Mary and told her about God's plan for her to bear the Son of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And she could have, now we point out the fact that she could have said no. See, God respects your will, praise God.
Amen.
See, God may have plans for you. He may have purposes for you. He may have things that he desires to do in your life. And you can tell him no.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll never happen, praise God.
Amen.
Some of you still might make it to heaven, but you'll miss out on a lot of rewards.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. There's a lot of, every last one of those people out there who walk in the streets, don't ain't going to church, they ain't thinking about Jesus. Do you know that it's Jesus' plan to save them? Do you know everybody that's in hell right now? It was Jesus' plan to save them. They'll never see Jesus' plan because they decided against it. Praise God. So Mary could have decided against bearing a Savior, and God may have had that. He would have had to look for somebody else, and he may not have been able to find that person. Praise God. But Pastor Troy, isn't God almighty and all-powerful? Yes, but he doesn't force his will on people. Amen.
Amen.
He may not have been able to find that person that year. Maybe even, not even that century. He may have had to wait another 300 centuries until he could find somebody that was willing to bear the Savior. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
But Mary, she said, yes. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
The angel Gabriel came to her and she said, well, how is this going to happen? Because I'm a virgin. I haven't been with any man. Now, if you're pregnant, now this only happened one time in life. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
It's only happened one time in all the 6,000 years of man's history. So now if you're pregnant, you know, they got a show on TV. I never watched it. I've just seen commercials about it called Jane the Virgin, where she got pregnant. That ain't happening. Amen?
Amen.
It only happened one time. You get pregnant, don't come to me telling you a virgin. Amen. But it happened with Mary. She said, how am I going to get pregnant? I'm a virgin. And he said, no word from God is void of power. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so God's word is full of power. And it can accomplish exactly what God needs it to accomplish. The only thing that can ever keep God's word from accomplishing what God wants to accomplish in you is you. Mm-hmm. Mary could have said no, but instead she said, let it be unto me according to thy word. And it happened for her, praise God.
Amen.
But Pastor, you mean to tell me Mary could have said no, even though God is all powerful? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 30 tells us that God sought for a man to stand in the gap for the land so that he would not have to destroy it. But he found none. And so he poured out his indignation. He poured out his wrath. The Bible tells us that God goes to and fro throughout the whole earth looking for people that he can be mighty on behalf of. Praise God. The Bible tells us that God seeks for people to worship him. God is a seeking God. He has to seek. Because the reason why is because we are so stubborn. Our stubborn wills get in God's way. Praise God.
Amen.
But God has great plans for you and me. His plans for us are wonderful. And see, the plan that God had for sending Jesus into the world goes against all the traditional stuff that people keep implying and teaching and saying about God. Hallelujah. See, that's why I've been teaching y'all for the past several weeks, and next week we're going to continue in that series on Does God Engage in Destructive Behavior? See, some of you probably do watch some Christian TV, But most of you don't attend nowhere near the amount of church services that that I go to, praise God.
Amen.
Most of you don't hear the different preachers that I hear. And that's why I feel like I got to teach my congregation, because I hear people say some dumb stuff. They say some things about God that just don't sound right, that ain't in line with the scriptures. And when they say it, you hear all these people clapping their hands and praising the Lord for it. And I just sit there. I don't care whether the preacher looking at me or not. I can't endorse something that's not right about my Father, that's not in line with the full context of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I believe that if you're going to represent God, you need to know your Bible. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I just, you know, I'm so glad that when I got called to preach, that my pastor would not let me get up there right away, because I would have made a fool out of myself. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Sometimes I still make a fool out of myself, but at least I know more now. Amen. But in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 10, it says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Say great joy.
Great joy.
Say great joy.
Great joy.
Oh, my goodness. Is good tidings of great joy, is that when God says, you know, I gave you that sickness in order to bless you, so that you can learn how to endure for me, so that you can be strong for me? Is that a great joy? How many of y'all been sick? Did you feel joyful when you were sick?
Yep.
Heck no. That ain't great joy. And then, but somebody tells you that you got to have great joy because God has chosen you to have this blessing of cancer. I got a cousin in the hospital suffering from cancer right now. I went to go visit with her last month. I'm going to try to go visit with her next week. I'm going to tell you, that poor baby's suffering. She's 1 year younger than me. Praise God. I've been praying for her, trying to talk to her about healing. You know, at least try to make sure that she got herself right with God. But you know, if somebody's already at a certain stage of cancer, it's hard unless the Holy Spirit really moves and intervenes, it's hard to get them to the place where their faith can be strengthened, where they can receive healing. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. But the thing is that when I go there to that hospital, I don't see God's handiwork. I see the devil's handiwork.
Amen.
And I don't get great joy. I start crying. You know, my cousin, she has to make me come over and hug me and say, "Troy, stop crying. It's going to be okay." You know, and she, you know, one thing she was telling me, you know, I know that she was saying in the spirit, because she said, "Troy, you already have a seat at the table." I don't know where that came from. She just said, "You got a seat at the table." She says, "Because you keep praying, you're always praying for your family. You're always praying for us." So, but my prayer has been for her to be healed. Praise God.
Amen.
But what I'm trying to teach you is that God's good tidings of great joy is not God wants you to be sick, that God wants you to get into car accidents, that God wants you to be poor and struggling, praise God. Mm-hmm. God's good tidings of great joy is something different. He has good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. Say all the people.
Oh,
God, he's not a God of favoritism, praise God.
Amen.
Oh, God, he has intimacy. He does favor you. So that's when we can say favorites, but anybody can become one of God's favorites, praise Jesus.
Amen.
You can get in on the deal, hallelujah. I'm trying to stay in on the deal. I want to be highly favored of God, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 11, it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory be to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Hallelujah.
Amen.
How many of y'all know that God's will towards you is good?
Amen.
God's will towards you is a good will. If you're going to remember one thing today or this coming Christmas, remember that God's will towards men is not evil, but good. Praise God.
Amen.
You need to remember, that is the primary Christmas message. Jesus came he came to earth to show us that God is not angry with you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He came to earth to tell you that God is not looking to destroy you. Glory to God. He came to earth to show you that God's intentions for you are not evil, but good. The angel said, peace and goodwill. Say goodwill.
Goodwill.
Oh, that word goodwill is talking about God's benevolence towards you. How many of y'all have heard of a church that has a benevolence fund? How many of y'all ever heard that word benevolence fund? That word benevolence simply means God. God's word. God wants to help you. When we give out a benevolence to you, when some of y'all come to us and say you need help, and Pastor Steve comes and say, "Well, how much do we have in the benevolence fund?" It is meant to be a blessing to you. Praise God. Mm-hmm. I don't remember one time when Pastor Steve says, "Hey, Pastor Troy, check the benevolence fund to see if we got a batch of that cancer chemical that we can give to so-and-so." Amen. See, we don't, our benevolence is goodwill. And goodwill is whatever you and I, in our own common sense, understand as being good. Praise God.
Amen.
Sometimes people have a twisted version when they want to apply certain understandings of God to their theology. Then they twist the meanings of certain words. And that includes the word good. They twist it to mean something different to God than it would mean to us because of some mystical understanding about God. But let me tell you something. What God thinks of good is better than what you think of good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God calls sickness evil. He calls disasters evil. He calls all these different things evil. And God's will towards you is not evil, but good. Let's look at Jeremiah 29:11. It talks about that. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil." Doesn't that sound like what the angels just said?
Yes.
Yeah. "Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." How many of y'all got an expected end in your minds? I have an expected end myself. First of all, when I talk about the end of life, you know, Charles Capps, anybody ever heard of Charles Capps, a great preacher, great Bible teacher, just a few of you? Charles Capps, I love that man of God. He died, I think he was a little over 80, just maybe about 1 or 2 years ago. You know what Charles Capps did? He called all his family into the living room. He said, "Listen, have enough." I mean, I'm paraphrasing what he said, what his daughter said he said. But basically, "I've had enough. Tonight I'm going home. Bye." I mean, I'm sure it was more loving and he loved his family and letting them know he's leaving. But he went to bed, and the next day, all he had was his body. Praise God.
Mm.
He went home. That's the kind of end I expect. Unless I have to die for persecution, you know, I have to die for the name of Jesus, you know, those type of things, I'm willing to do that. But I ain't willing to die from cancer. Praise God.
Amen.
I ain't willing to die from a gunshot, just from a random gunshot walking down the street. Praise Jesus. Now, they tell me to, now, if somebody puts a gun in my head and says, "Deny Jesus or I'm shooting," I'm going to say, "Well, you better just go ahead and shoot, because I ain't denying him. Praise Jesus."
Mm-hmm.
But then if it ain't my time to go, then I'll say, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper."
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Yeah,
I don't understand, you know, I personally understand, preachers who, where they come in, somebody comes in there and shoots up the whole church. And it's all, I wonder about that. I mean, I'm not trying to judge anybody, but I just wonder about that. How many, if people don't know the word of God, at least I would try to stand on God's word before I let y'all get shot. Praise God. Amen. But then other preachers start getting scared. "Well, maybe we shouldn't have church. Somebody might come in and shoot up." No, I had 3 services that day before I let that happen. If I had to come in here by myself, glory to God. Before I let fear take over. But the thing is, what I'm trying to tell you is God's will is not evil. God's will is not for you to die early. God has an expected end for you. But that's not just talking about the end of your life. That's talking about the end of certain journeys you may be having, certain goals that you have. Praise God. That's an expected end that God has an expected end for you, but you've got to get in on the plan. Glory to God.
Yeah.
It's up to you. Like we just told you a moment ago, Mary had to consent to the plan. Glory to God.
Amen.
So that the Christmas message, God has a Christmas gift for you. He's already given you Jesus, and in Jesus is everything that you need.
Yeah.
So we got to be careful about believing that the evil in this world is any representation of God's will. Praise God. Mm-hmm. See, God's will is not abortion. That's not God's will. That's why I was telling you earlier about I don't understand Christians who continue. And I'm talking about, and I talk to these Christians a lot, so I'm not just exaggerating. Christians who tell me they love Jesus, they pray the Lord, but yet they continue to endorse politicians, including our president, and many of them are enamored by him. And I'm not, and again, listen to me very carefully. I do not like it when people say nasty stuff about him, praise God. I do not like it when people disrespect him. You do not disrespect the president. I don't care who he is. I don't care how much you disagree with him. Praise God. Mm-hmm. But on that same note, for you to sit there and be all almost worshipful of him, after all the stuff that he's done that was so anti-Christian, and he's shown himself to be against Christianity, to be so enamored by that, and to put up on all your whatever you're doing, to have pictures of him on your walls. I go to some Christians' houses, they got pictures of President Obama and no pictures of Jesus. And I just don't get that. This man has told us that he's for homosexual marriage. Jesus is against that. This man has told us he's for abortion, has put God's blessings on Planned Parenthood. Jesus is against that. This man has instituted a health care law that is damaging a whole bunch of people right now. Jesus wouldn't endorse that. This man has just forgotten Christians who are being persecuted over in different countries, but bringing in thousands of Muslims. And Christians don't seem to understand what he's doing. It's painful to see. But none of this is God's will, praise God. The things that the evil that's happening in the world, we wonder why our nation is the way it is. It's not because God wants the nation to be this way. That's not God's will. God's will is peace towards and goodwill towards all men. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Including those babies that's in the womb. Glory to God.
Amen.
So wars, murder, immorality, none of these things represents God's will. Praise God. So this is the Christmas message I'm trying to get you to understand, is that God's will towards men is a wonderful will, beautiful will, a godly will, peace, tranquility, health, holiness, having every one of your needs supplied, all of your physical needs, having your goals met, praise God.
Amen.
See, it's not enough to, see, you can have all the money in the pocket, in your pocket. You can have good health, but if you're not satisfied with the way things are in your life, you're still in turmoil, ain't you?
Yes.
Yeah. See, the joy comes when you're in line with doing something that you know you're supposed to be doing, praise God.
Right.
When you're following a track that you know that you're supposed to be on. When you're meeting goals, when you're close to seeing your dreams happen, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something. Once you meet one dream, don't stop dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you meet the goal, you'll become dissatisfied. Because what happens, once you meet a certain goal, then you'll be like, is that it? It's like I heard about Alexander the Great. How many of y'all history people know about Alexander the Great?
Yes.
Conquered the whole world. Well, once he finished conquering all the world, they said he started crying. He said, I ain't got no more nations to conquer. You know, why do you think some billionaires commit suicide? Dissatisfaction. See, you got to keep dreaming. You got to keep letting God give you dreams, goals, desires, something to accomplish, something to achieve. Never give up. Praise God.
Amen.
Keep climbing. Keep climbing higher. Even if things ain't working out right now, just keep on going. Jesus came so that you and I can have peace on earth. And God's benevolent good will, his blessings on your behalf.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So for this Christmas, Remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. It's okay to exchange presents. And let me tell you this very quickly, parents. Y'all hear me tell you this every year, and I'm gonna keep telling you. Do not lie to your children. Amen.
Amen.
Mary, you got that? You got Bernice? Don't lie to her about Santa Claus. If you do, I'm gonna tell her the truth. I'm gonna come over to y'all house and I'm gonna say, Bernice, mommy lied to you. Have you ever seen a fat guy coming down a chimney? Yeah. No, don't lie to your children. Tell them, give them presents. Give them toys. Glory to God. Give them that iPad if you can afford it. Glory to God. Give me one. but let them know Jesus provided this money for me. Jesus gave me the help to get the work and get this job. And that's why you have this iPad or this other toy that you want, this toy train, this car, this doll, whatever it is. Give your children stuff, but let them know Jesus is the reason for the season. Praise God.
Amen.
I'm going to end with this. While no man's perfect, there really was a man named St. Nicholas. And St. Nicholas, where we get the modern day Santa from, but St. Nicholas lived close to 2,000 years ago. St. Nicholas gave toys to children. But he gave them toys to represent Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And so that's what we are to do. We are to give to represent Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Stand to your feet.
Amen.
Well, that was only 26 minutes. Well, 27 now. That's a little shorter than what I usually do.